Good morning. Brianna made breakfast for the family this morning. She's six. But she did a good job. She did a good job. Kids are funny. Adults are funny too. Praise God. Well, we've been in the series focusing on evangelism, and you've heard from Pastor Richard and Pastor Michelle. You've heard from Brother Damon, Brother John, Brother Ken. And now I'm here. So this morning we're going to be talking about recognizing your opportunity to shine. Recognizing your opportunity to shine. We could also say recognizing your opportunity to share, to reach out, to evangelize. And this is a interesting title, because as soon as you say the word opportunity, that sort of in and of itself insinuates that there could be a time where there's not an opportunity. And so for us as believers, where Jesus has told us to let our light so shine before men, that that's not a this day I do and, you know, tomorrow I don't. That's sort of an always on, you know, thing. We should be radiating God's glory, God's goodness, and God's works. We're told in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to be ready to preach the word in season and out of season. And so when we talk about an opportunity, or terminology like an open door, you got to kind of come at that from the right place, because we understand from the word that, you know, we should always be on as believers. It's not something we visit. It's something we are. We're told and instructed to be instant in season and out of season. And so that scripture in 2 Timothy, the spirit of that scripture, if you look it up, is that you're ready to preach when it's convenient and when it's not convenient for you. So you're ready to share in season when it's convenient for me, and out of season when it's not convenient for me. I'm at the grocery store and the Lord says, go talk to that person over there. Well, Lord, it's not very convenient right now. I'm putting Fruit Loops in the trunk. I got orange juice that I got to keep cold. It's not a very convenient time right now, Lord. It's not in season. It's out of season. But if the Lord tells you to do it, guess what? It's in season. Right. So when we read the verse in season and out of season, whether it's convenient, whether it's not convenient, if the Lord is doing it and the Holy Spirit is instructing, then it will be an opportune time. It'll be an opportune moment if it's a God ordained moment. And so when we talk about this morning, an opportunity, we're talking about God's opportune time, not your moment of convenience. Right. So when God instructs you to do something, when God tells you to do something, sometimes it will not be a very convenient moment for you. For example, Lord, there are people around. It's not very convenient. Could we do this when no one else can see? That would be more convenient for me. But if, and there's the word if, If it's God doing it, if it's God saying it, then you're in season. Amen. You're in God's season. Even if it's inconvenient for you, even if it's inconvenient for the flesh, it's not inconvenient for God, because it's God's will, God's plan, God's purpose. So we're talking about God's opportunity, God's moment, God's open door. What is an opportunity? Again, we're talking about recognizing your opportunity to shine, to evangelize, to share. What is an opportunity? Let me kind of give an example. Let's say somebody is a journalist, and they say, I got the opportunity to go to Paris to cover a story. Okay? And when they imply the word opportunity, what they're implying is that something happened, or there's a certain set of circumstances that have allowed me to go to Paris to cover the story. They may say something like, well, I was third in line, but the first person got sick and the second person couldn't go, and now it's come to me, so I now have this opportunity to go. Circumstances have come together, and they are such that they are beyond me. I didn't create the circumstances, but they are there, and now I have this opportunity, right? You may have an opportunity to meet someone. Circumstances have come to a point where the door is open for you to go and meet someone that you've always wanted to meet. Some people talk about job opportunities. I have an opportunity to take this job over here, which is going to allow me to do this. And it's doing the things I've always wanted to do. And circumstances are such that I have this opportunity. I could not create it myself, but it's there. And because it's there, I have this opportunity, right? So the thing about the examples I just gave is that there are two parts to an opportunity. There is a set of circumstances that exist beyond you that you had nothing to do with. In other words, you are walking into this moment. So the two parts to an opportunity is that you have an open door. That's the first part. There is an open door. And then two, there is the redemption of the open door. Okay? If you have an opportunity to meet someone, guess what? You still have to show up and meet them. If you have an opportunity to go to Rome to cover a story, guess what? You still have to get on the plane, go, work, cover the story. Just because you have an open door doesn't mean anything's going to be accomplished. Right? So there is a part of an opportunity that exists outside of you, and there is a part of redeeming that moment that belongs to you. Right? So there's something for God to do, and there's something for you to do as well. All right? Let's turn to Colossians chapter 4. And verse 2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, keep an alert in it, with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open to us a door, that God will open up to us a door for the word. Now, if a door didn't need to be open for the word to go forth, why would Paul say, pray for us that God will open a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been in prison, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak, Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Okay? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, most of us have heard this, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. This word opportunity and the word time in Ephesians 5, 16 are the same word. They both mean opportunity or seasonable moment, but they both have to be redeemed. You have to redeem the time. You have to redeem the opportunity that you have. Okay? So when we talk about an open door or an opportunity when it comes to evangelism, we're kind of talking about, there's kind of, you know, I have done street ministry before. Like, I'm standing on the street and I'm either sharing tracts with someone. This is a public street, whether it's downtown, on 6th Street, or on the campus. And I'm either sharing tracts or stopping people to start a conversation. I don't know any of the people that I'm talking to unless God tells me something about them. I would kind of call that, you've heard of cold calling before? I would kind of call that maybe cold evangelism. Meaning, it only requires three things. One, they're a human being, they're breathing, and I have a word in the Bible that says, go ye therefore and make disciples, right? And I have done that and been involved in that. I have walked into clubs and started sharing the gospel with people. I've been on 6th Street sharing the gospel with people. I've been on public transportation in a bus and stood up in the back of the bus and just started sharing the gospel. I didn't know anybody I was talking to. They were human. They were breathing. And I didn't necessarily have a word in my spirit, but I had a scripture here that says, go ye therefore and make disciples, teaching them all things I've commanded you, baptizing them. And so I would kind of call that, you know, cold evangelism. You're starting from nothing, right? And in those moments, you have to have a disruptive moment to kind of even start a conversation. Even if we take away the Christian aspect from it, this is, if you've ever done telemarketing before, which I have, you know, where I pick up the phone and I'm just dialing down the list. I don't know anything about the people that I'm calling other than they exist, right? So there is a place for that, and God can use that. I've seen God use that. I've gone door to door before, just knocking on doors. See who will answer the call. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. Well, you got to be fishing, right? At some level and some degree, you got to be fishing. Today's message is more tied to, I guess, what I would call warm evangelism, just a little bit, that takes into account not only that I'm fishing, but the kind of bait that I'm using when I fish. And so that when it comes to evangelism, we have examples in the Bible where we have kind of very strategic moments where things are being done and conversations are being had that, God is kind of doing something in that moment that we want to account for, and kind of there's kind of an opportunity set up for us to share the word and impact somebody's life. Okay, so let's turn to I guess before we do that, there was years ago a young man in my apartment who was going through some things, and he came to visit me in my apartment, and we started talking, and he started, this young man was not born again. He was not saved. We started talking. He started sharing with me, and it was all God. You know, somebody who just got born again could have walked into this moment and been used of God. It was an open door. It was an opportune time. This person was ready to receive. And we talked for about 30 minutes. The conversation, sometimes when you're evangelizing, you have to watch the conversation and look for cues. The conversation was going. I shared. He shared. I shared. He shared. I shared. And before I knew it, it was one of the easiest conversions I've ever seen. I brought him to the point of receiving Christ, you know, that key question. Receiving Christ, and they did. They received Christ. They were born again in a moment. They started crying. They lifted their hands up in the air. They had never done that before. And immediately they were born again. Now, I had not planned for that. That was sort of an off-script moment. But it was a God moment. It was an opportunity where somebody was in crisis, and it was a platform. That crisis presented a platform for me to share the gospel with them. God was dealing with them. They received Christ. They were born again, and they're serving God today. So I would kind of call that a warm moment. I kind of knew some things. The person was ready. God was dealing with the person's heart. And so I'll kind of share another moment. There was a time where I woke somebody up out of a cold sleep at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I asked them, I said, "Are you saved?" That didn't go too well. That didn't go too well. One, because of the timing, and two, because of the approach. So it just did not go well. I guess I would call maybe a uninspired moment. But being able to recognize moments and opportunities can be very important when it comes to evangelism. To be able to see what God is doing and maybe some of the strategy behind that. All right. So turn to Acts chapter 10. And verse 1. Now there was a man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, "Cornelius," and fixing his gaze on him and being much alarmed, he said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. He is staying with a tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who was speaking to him had left, he summoned two of his servants and a devout soldier of those who were his personal attendants, and after he had explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. On the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city," so notice, as they were on their way, "Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray, but he became hungry and was desiring to eat, But while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. And he saw the sky opened up, and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. A voice came to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean." And a voice came to him a second time, "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." This happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up into the sky. Now while Peter was greatly perplexed in his mind as to what the vision which he had seen might be, behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked direction for Simon's house, appeared at the gate. And calling out, they were asking whether Simon, who was also called Peter, was staying there. While Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and accompany them without any misgivings, for I have sent them myself." Peter went down to the men and said, "Behold, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for which you have come?" They said, "Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear a message from you." So he invited them in and gave them lodging. So the important point here concerning evangelism is that God is dealing with two people at the same time. He's dealing with the receiver and he's dealing with the giver. And he is strategically orchestrating and bringing them together. This would be an opportunity. This is an opportunity for Peter to go and share the gospel with someone that God has been dealing with. Okay, so there is a very strategic orchestration here. So when you're at the grocery store or you're, you know, at the gym or work or wherever you are, just on the street, if God tells you to go and talk with someone and the Holy Spirit tells you to do that, there is a reason, and you don't know, but that God has already been dealing with that person. Okay, and even if it doesn't make sense for you, even if it isn't convenient for you, if you're in tune with the Holy Spirit and you're listening to him, there is a reason he's telling you to do it. Go and do it. Okay, it doesn't matter if it's inconvenient for you. If God is saying it, it is an opportunity. It is a opportune time. God may have been dealing with that person for the last year, the last month, the last week. Sometimes we just don't know. And so that's why listening to the Holy Spirit is very, very important when it comes to effective evangelism, okay? All right, Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. Okay, this is an account of Philip. It says, "But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip," again, God is speaking to him, saying, "Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is a desert road. So he went up. So he got up. So when God says, "Get up and go," guess what? You get up and go. He got up and went. And there was a Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. All right, so there's something going on in this moment, okay, that Philip is going to observe, and it's going to be his entry point into a conversation, right? If you ever struggle with cold evangelism, like where do I start the conversation, look for entry points into a conversation, all right? So he's reading the prophet Isaiah, verse 29, "Then the Spirit said to Philip," again, the Holy Spirit said to Philip, "go up and join this chariot." And then Philip ran. You notice the pattern? God said, he's going. Holy Spirit said, he's going, right? He is under complete direction from the Holy Spirit in this evangelistic moment or this evangelistic opportunity. Philip ran up and he heard him reading Isaiah, the prophet. And so what was his entry statement. What was Philip's entry statement? Do you understand what you're reading? Now, was his entry statement relevant to the situation? Yes. It was relevant to what was going on. Philip didn't walk up and go, "How about them Longhorns?" Now, if you can navigate that to Jesus, the Savior, that's skill. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But no, he hit on what was going on in the moment. That was his entry point. Okay? If you come across someone, observe the situation. What's going on? What are they doing? And how can I make an entry point there? All right? So his entry point was, do you understand what you are reading? He said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? Unless someone guides me. Guess what? You are someone. How can I understand unless someone guides me? Here's another open door. He's asking for a guide. He needs a guide. And so he invited Philip. That's an opportunity. This is an opportunity. When someone, easy evangelism, when somebody asks you and you're ready to make a defense for the hope that's in you to all who ask you, you're ready to do that, that's great. That's great. Now, it's not going to happen like that all the time, but when somebody asks you, you just kind of walk in through that open door. He invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of scripture which he was reading was this, and it kind of goes on, and the end of the account was that the eunuch ends up giving his life to Christ. Okay? But it was an evangelistic moment. Okay, and there was an opportunity there. Turn to John chapter 4. And verse 3. He left Judea and went away again into Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. Samaria was on the way to Galilee. Just like Waco's on the way to Dallas. You know, he had to go through Waco. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. It's not an accident that he came to this town, to this piece of land, to this well. Because God knew that there was a woman who was coming to draw from that well, and that those two paths had to meet. This is why you want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I only do the things which my Father tells me to do that I see him doing. So these two paths have to come across each other. These two people have to meet. Here is the opportunity, and watch Jesus' entry point into conversation. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Now, it says it was about the sixth hour. This apparently was the time that she regularly comes to draw water out. So not only is he at the right place, but he's there at the right time for this evangelistic moment, for this opportunity. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. All right. So what was Jesus' entry statement into this evangelistic conversation? It was simple. It was give me a drink, and it was relevant to the context that he was in. Okay. So the conversation kind of goes on. The woman says some things. Jesus is now riffing off the conversation. Let's kind of go into that a little bit. The woman said to him, verse 9, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, so he asked her a question, and he's going to respond to that question. Notice this conversation is going to go deeper, deeper, deeper.
It starts very surface, give me some water. In some of your evangelistic conversations, when you're reaching out to somebody, especially somebody you don't know, Jesus did know her in this case. We're about to see that. But you may start at surface level. We're talking about football, okay? If the conversation is at football, then start at football. But you can start at football and watch the conversation go deeper, 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 deeper to a point where you're not at surface level anymore. Now you're at a spiritual level, okay? And we'll kind of get more into that here in a minute. But you have to watch the conversation. Where is the conversation going? If you want to have authentic conversations with people, you have to watch what's going on. You have to watch the conversation and pick up on cues, pick up on things that they are saying. And then the skilled evangelist who has the word in their heart and has been pursuing God and is in tune with the Holy Spirit can hear a person say certain things and make a statement or respond to it at that level, but bring the truth of God into it and relate something natural to something godly. All right. So we see this kind of conversation go differently. And she said, how is it that you asked me for a drink? And Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So now we're still talking about water because we're around a well. But in combination with talking about water, we're talking about now the gift of God, right? And kind of playing and riffing off of what this woman is saying. But Jesus is very skillful, obviously, at this. And she said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Again, we're still talking about water, but now we're into living water now. Very, very, the conversation is going deeper, deeper, deeper. You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle? Jesus answered and said to her, this is his third rebuttal or comment, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. And then the woman said, give me some of this water. Aha, now we're at a point where it's like, boom, do you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? God loves you. God has a plan for your life. Now you're kind of ready to go in, but you kind of watch where the conversation was going. You applied the truth of God to very natural things that she was dealing with, and now the conversation and the relationship has now developed where you have an entry point to go there, right? That is the opportunity. So I'm going to skip for a second, then I'll come back. We're talking about following the conversation. If a person is talking about not being sure what they're supposed to do with their life, if that's the conversation at the moment, I'm just not sure of what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. I'm confused. That's not the moment to say, do you know where you would go if you died today? Okay, it's are you able to read the conversation and read the opportunity? If somebody is saying, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life, I'm confused, that is a great opportunity, okay? And so you might say something like, I hear you, I know a lot of people that deal with that. But you know what? God does have a plan for your life. He created you for a reason, and the only way to truly know what you were put here on the earth to do is to connect with him. He created you. He created you for a reason. It's similar to a car that's created by a manufacturer. And so the only true way to know what you were meant to do, why you're put here on the earth, is to connect with God. And the only true way to do that is to connect with his son, Jesus, whom he sent to give us life. Have you ever considered that? Yeah, so it's kind of starting where they are and then taking them where they need to be. It's kind of navigating and recognizing the moment. So now you're going from surface level conversations to very authentic, heartfelt conversations that come across as very, very real, a very, very real moment for the person. But again, you have to watch this. You have to observe it. I was in a library once, and two gentlemen walked in, and I had seen them before, but I really didn't know them. We had said hello, greeted, talked. Why are y'all here? What are you doing here? We just kind of very surface level talk, very surface level dialogue and conversation. And before I knew it, one thing led to another, one thing led to another, and we had been talking for about 30 minutes. And now, because of some of the things that they said, I had an opportunity to interject the truth of God, the truth of Jesus. And they ended up giving their lives to Christ right there in the library. So, it was an opportunity. It was a divine moment, and then brought them to church. They came to church for a few weeks, months. Was working on discipling them, and then they kind of started to unplug. Okay, now I'm not going to get into that today about the grounds that Jesus mentioned, right? But there are different types of ground, and you can see some progress being made in some people, and then something comes up and chokes what's going on. I'm not going to get into that today, but the point I'm making is that there was an opportunity, and being able to observe the conversation and observe what's going on and allowing God to lead and see what is God doing here, seeing where God is taking this thing, is a way to kind of step into that. All right. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. Very familiar passage. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together. Okay, now a crowd is forming. Why is a crowd forming right now? Is a crowd forming because someone said, listen, everybody, who wants to give their life to Jesus? No, a crowd is forming because something very disruptive has just happened. The gifts of the Spirit are in operation. And people are curious, and it's a draw. People are coming together now. None of the disciples have said anything yet. They've not shared anything. God is doing something here, okay? So this is a very God moment, very God opportunity. A crowd is now assembling because of what God is doing. And they were bewildered because each of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that each hear them in our own language to which you were born? And Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and it kind of goes on and on to different lands and districts. They were all there, and we hear them in our own tongue speaking of the mighty deeds of God. And they were all continued in amazement with great perplexity, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others were mocking, saying they were full of sweet wine. So a crowd had gathered, and they had questions, all right? What was ultimately Peter's entry point into when he started preaching? He was addressing the questions that they had. That was his entry point. He knew they had questions, so he started off, "Men, this is not what you think." That was his first statement. "This is not what you think. So I'm addressing where you are at this level. I'm dealing with that. And then now that's my platform. That's my entry point to hit you there. And then now can I skillfully take you deeper all the way up to a point of receiving Christ?" And that's what happened. And 3,000 people were added to the body that day because of a God opportunity that Peter had to and did take advantage of. So we're talking about two parts to an opportunity. One, God's doing something. And two, I do have to walk through that door. As Pastor Richard has said, I do have to open my mouth and speak and say something. But I do want to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. I want to be wise about it. I want to be strategic about it. And I want to see what God is doing. All right. So there was a disruptive moment here. The people had questions. Peter began to address those questions. That was his entry point, the opportunity, and then he was able to lead them to Christ, okay? So how do you know when you have an opportunity? How do you know when you have an open door? How do you know when you're in a God-ordained evangelistic moment? A couple of things. One, first and foremost, is the Holy Spirit speaking to you, right? That's the most simple thing. God tells you to go talk to that person. God tells you to go pray for that person. God tells you to do whatever. If God tells you to do it, you are in season. Yeah. You are in an opportune time, all right? If he says go share, you go share. There's a reason, we already said, for why he's telling you to do that. Call that person, pray for that person, talk to that person, give to that person, whatever. There have been moments just in the body of Christ where I wished I had a word for somebody. I wanted to have a word for somebody, either because I knew what they were going through or they were a very faithful person to God. You know, they're just a godly good person, you know. And there have been times where I desired to have a word, and I did not have a word for that person, and I did not say anything because I didn't have anything for them. Now, you can always give somebody the word, right? But then there's the word, then there's a word. And sometimes I wish I had a word for a particular person who may be going through something, and I didn't. And it kind of, it was a struggle just to kind of wait on God and see what God was doing and see if there was anything there. But it's important to wait on God if you don't have a word from God. And if you don't have a word from God, you can't always default to the word, right? The scripture says what it says, right? But it's when the Holy Spirit comes upon the written scripture that it now becomes rhema and life to someone. And you do want to be in those moments, right? As much as possible, to share with someone and give somebody something that is truly from God and not just from your mind, right? Not just from your conscience, but from the Holy Spirit in your spirit speaking and talking through you. All right, so how do you know when you're in an opportunity? Is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Two, let's turn to Acts chapter 16 and verse 11. So this is Luke recorded the book of Acts. And so he's kind of given an account. He says, so putting out to sea from Troas, we ran a straight course to whatever that city name is, and on the day following to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony, and we were staying in this city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. So they were looking for a place of prayer. That's why they were going outside the gates of the city. They were looking for a quiet place to pray, and they didn't find one. What they did find as they were going was a group of women that were there. And they said, well, we were supposing to find a place of prayer, but all that's out here is live-breathing human beings. Let's sit down and talk to them. Yeah. So this maybe started out as a cold moment, but got warm pretty quick, right? They're out. They see some women they do not know. And then it says, what does it say? I lost my spot. Hold on a second. Verse 14. Thank you. So they were supposing there would be a place of prayer, and we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled there, right? And there was a woman called Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God. So there was a group of women, but now we start to zero in on one, right? When you're talking about an opportunity to shine, hopefully what you really want, what you really desire is that moment or that person that God is working on, that God is dealing with. You may be fishing in a lake of tons of fish out there, but it's that one that you want to target, that you want to hopefully reach and connect with, right? That's the opportunity. So it says that she was a worshiper of God, and she was listening. She was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond. God is doing the work when it comes to evangelism. The Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. Okay? So, again, how do you know when you have an opportunity? One, we said, is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Two, is the person listening? Is the person receptive? If a person is hanging on your words, you kind of start here and then you go deeper. If they're listening to you and they haven't, you know, given you the finger and walked off, you know, if they're listening to you, you have an opportunity here. Everybody may not be listening to you, but she was listening to what they were saying. So is the person receptive? Are they listening? We don't want to give what is holy to dogs or cast our pearls before swine. Okay, is the person receptive? Okay, if they are listening to what you've had to say so far, you might be in a moment. Okay, you might have an opportunity here. Three, how do you know when you're in an opportunity, you have an open door, or you're in an evangelistic moment? Watch the conversation. Okay, is the conversation headed in a certain direction, or does it stay surface level? Okay, does it organically and naturally stay on the surface? Just natural things. Are we talking about football? Or are we talking about family? Are we talking about, you know, hot rods? Or are we talking about, I just lost my job? That's one surface level, and one is going deeper into life things, right? So watch the conversation. Is it headed in a certain direction? Does it stay on the surface, or is it gracefully going deeper? I'm not necessarily pushing it deeper, but the Holy Spirit is navigating it deeper. I want to be watching this and be observant for it. And then I want to look to riff off of key words and statements and skillfully apply the Word of God in a relevant, authentic manner. Okay, I'm going to say that again. I want to watch the conversation, listen, and then I want to look to pick up on key words that they share, key things that they say, key statements, and then I want to skillfully apply the Word of God in a relevant manner. Again, we're at the well. What would be relevant? Give me some water. Okay? We're at Pentecost. They've got questions. Let's start off with the questions they have, and then let's go deeper. If the conversation is about coffee, don't start talking about yard care. If you can start with coffee and get down to Jesus, that's good. And those are the types of evangelists that we need, who can take surface level things and apply the word of God in any situation, because it's relevant to every situation. So no matter where somebody is starting, no matter what situation they're in, if the word of God can be applied to where they are, and if they're at coffee, I'm not going to talk about yard care. We'll start with coffee. I don't even like coffee. We'll start with coffee and go this level, and this level until we get to the aha moment where it's like, yeah, okay. And as long as they're listening, we're digging, right? We have an open audience. We don't get them that often. Right, if they're listening, then we're gonna go as long as they'll receive, as long as they'll go. So another way of knowing that you have an opportunity, does somebody ask you? Does somebody approach you? I was in my apartment one time, and I had a roommate, and he had some people over. I got home, and there were people in my apartment, and I knew who they were on the surface, but I got home, I went into my room, and I shut my door. And when I shut my door, about 30 seconds later, I heard a knock on my door, and it was one of the people that was in the apartment. Opened the door, and he said, hey, we kind of greeted each other, whatever. And he said, can I come in? I said, sure, come in. Now, I haven't done anything, y'all. I just came home. I'm just present. But this is an opportunity, right? He said, can I come in? I want to talk to you. And he just started crying. He just started crying and started sharing some things. And he's like, I need that. I need that. And he was pointing at a bookcase in my room that had all these books, all these godly books on them. There was Kenneth Hagin, there was Rod Parsley, there was there's just a lot of different books that were on there, and I guess he had been in my room, maybe, you know, and he had been looking at, because he kind of came in, knew exactly where to point. He was like, I need that. Now, he approached me, right? This is an opportunity, y'all. This is an opportunity to shine. God is doing something here. And what did I do? Well, I shared the gospel with them. The uncompromised truth of God's word and the gospel with them. Now, they did not receive it. And that they weren't saved. They weren't born again like the other situation that I mentioned. But it was an opportunity to share, and I don't know what God did with it after that. Sometimes we may not know. We just know that there's an opportunity, and the Holy Spirit says talk and share, and we do it, and we leave it up to God in terms of what happens, the results. But we share when God tells us to share. So does somebody ask you? Does somebody approach you? The Bible says be ready to give a defense to all those who what? Ask you, all right? Next thing, how do I know I'm in an opportunity or evangelistic moment? Is there a crisis? Crisis are great opportunities. When somebody is in a crisis, or there's a crisis on the news, and you get a chance to go out as a church and address that crisis, in other words, you're bringing life to them in a very tangible way, many times that can be an open door, an opportunity to share the gospel as well. If you're bringing water, you're bringing medical supplies, whatever, you're meeting them on a very natural way, then with that, many times they can be receptive to hearing the gospel, the good news. So is there a crisis? Everybody has a crisis, whether it's a small one or a big one. Everybody has a crisis. So it's something that they're going through. And if you can get to and find their crisis, That can be a great opportunity. Sometimes the Holy Spirit may tell you that person is going through this, that person is dealing with that, and then you're able to kind of go to them cold, but it's not really cold, is it? Because the Holy Spirit has dealt with you and said, this person is going through this. Go and share whatever or do whatever he tells you to do, okay? All right, and then the last one is, does someone need or want something from you? Does someone come to you with a need and they want something, they want money from you, they want you to help them do something? To me, that's an opportunity, because you don't get me without getting my Jesus, right? And so if you want something from me, and I belong to him, and this is we're having a dialogue and a conversation, then this is an opportunity for them to hear the truth of God's word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm in a conversation with an unbeliever, and they've come to me. It's not like I have, and this is fine, don't get me wrong, but it's not like I have come up to them and said, hey, where are you with God? That's not what I did. They came to me, right? And they need me, and I belong to Christ. So there is an inherent opportunity there to apply the truth to whatever they're going through, to whatever they're dealing with, to whatever need that they have. Maybe the reason they need me is because they're suffering or have a crisis in another area. And as I'm helping them through that need, there's also an opportunity to share the truth, however God tells you to share it, with them. Okay? All right. I was in HEB many, many years ago, and two girls came up to me. One was in front, one was in back, and the girl that was in front said, this is when I was single, just qualify that, my lovely wife is right here, said, my friend here wants to talk to you. Okay, I would put this under the, does someone need or want something from you category. Right. Said, my friend wants to talk to you. She thinks you're cute. I said, well, does she know Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior? You should have saw her eyes. Eyes got very, very, very big. And she's just looking. And her friend behind her started breathing real hard. And then she took off running and said, oh, no. And ran around HEB and came back to me. Oh, I think she's saying, oh, no, we got one of them. And then her friend was just like in shock, just breathing hard and sweating. And I said a couple of things to her and shared a word of grace. It wasn't, you know, do you know Jesus? But it was, you know, well, I had already asked that anyway. But my point is, it was an opportunity. And I would put it under the category of, do they want something from you? They wanted something from me. You're not going to get me without hearing about Jesus. You know, you approach me. Right. I was shopping. Now, I can be a Christian in a grocery store and be approaching people, which is good. But you approach me, you know. So if you want me, you're gonna hear some truth. You're gonna hear about Jesus, okay? I was getting ready to play basketball, this was with a group of guys that I regularly play basketball with, and me and another guy were waiting for everybody else to get there, and we were just kind of talking, you know, small talk, and they said, so you're a Christian? And I said, yes, I am. And they started asking me all these questions about being a Christian. Well, how did they even know to ask me that? Well, as Brother Ken ministered about, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify God. Now, I worked with this person in the workplace. I worked with this person. But I had never, ever talked to this person about my faith. But I'm sure this person had seen or picked up on things I had said. I guess having Philippians 4:13 on my whiteboard didn't hurt. But this person had picked up on certain things about me, certain cues about me, and we're on the basketball court waiting, and he said, "So you're a Christian?" Before anything else is said, y'all, this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity to shine, hopefully because you already been shining, right? And now, you know, preach the gospel, if necessary, use words. You haven't been using words up to this point, but now it's an opportunity to use words. And I said, yes, I am. And then guess what? I got to share my story with them. And I started all the way from back when I was a little kid to how I got saved, to how I came to Christ. That was my story, brother. And I shared it with them, and they just sat there and listened. Now, they didn't receive Christ at that time, but they heard my story. They heard the message in my story of Christ, and I trust God to do with it what he's going to do with it. You know, maybe somebody else will come along, okay? But that was an opportunity for me to share and have an authentic conversation with someone. So there are opportunities there. There are open doors. We do want open doors. There's a biblical scriptural preference or precedence for open doors and opportunities to testify of Jesus Christ in particular moments. So we want to be open to those. We want to do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. If he tells us to go talk to someone, we want to go talk to someone because he told us for a reason. He told us to do this and go here and talk to this person for a reason. And if he's saying it, then there's going to be some sort of entry point, platform there for you to share. So the message today is just be sensitive to what God is doing. Watch conversations. Watch what people are doing. Be real. Be real with people. Try to connect with people in a very real and authentic way so that they understand that God is real and he's not someone out here. He's someone who wants to have a relationship with you. Amen? Amen. Praise God. We are done. Pastor, are you? Okay.
Praise God for the word. Amen. That was good. I couldn't have did that any better myself. I told y'all we're going to give you tools so that you could be a light. There's some of y'all out there quiet like he just called you out for adultery. It's okay. It's okay. We just giving you skills. So I told you before, everybody remember the challenge that we had last week? Everybody had a card, right? All right. How many names did I say put on the card? All right, some people were listening. Three names put on the card. Here's what I want you to do. With this card and with this challenge, what we're trying to do is create a situation where you get an opportunity to work with God to help transform somebody's life, impact somebody's life, or deposit a truth in their life. And so what we're doing with the names, you were praying for three people all this week. What I'm going to do now is give you 2 weeks. 2 weeks to contact somebody on that list, invite them out to eat, invite them for a coffee, invite them over to visit, or you could just call and talk with them, something like that. But I want you to share your story with them. So we've got from the very beginning talking about the purpose and the need to evangelize. We've given you skills about the story, shining the light. Now you got the final piece of recognizing opportunity. You're going to get to use all that in this challenge, because what I believe will happen is that God is going to create an opportunity for you with these people so that you can see that, and then you get the aha moment of, oh, okay, this is what I can do. You know, there's somebody in my family that I need to pray for. I'm going to pray for them. watch God create a moment and you get the opportunity to share your story, share a truth or whatever. Or you're at your job and there's some people you need to pray for, you'd like to pray for, God put them on your heart, you're praying for them, and then guess what? An opportunity comes up for you to share your story, share a word of truth or whatever. This is what's going to happen. This is what I believe is going to happen with this challenge. Now, I'm going to give you 2 weeks because I know some of you probably didn't put any names on your card. So you get another week to start the challenge again, or you get 2 weeks to take up the challenge. But what we really want you to do is not just share a bunch of information, get you fired up or whatever, but we're actually trying to equip you to do what God wants us to do at all times. As Brian said, being a light really is not an on or off thing. That's an all the time thing. But we want you to be able to recognize that God moment that God is using you to touch somebody. So you get 2 weeks, contact somebody on the card. Again, you can invite them over to coffee. And see, this is more intentional. Before, we went to the mall and the McDonald's just giving them a card. That's kind of generic. This is actually more specific. So that's why you can be personal. You can do a friend, a family member, whatever. Go out to eat, hang out, and you say, you know what? Can I just share something with you for a few minutes? Most of the time, I'm like, yeah, go ahead. And then you share your story. And when you finish with that, you might recognize a deeper moment and they'll want to talk more. Or they may say, you know what? Hey, that was a good story. And you just go on. But because you went through it, you'll have the courage and the bravery to do it the next time God presents you with that opportunity. Amen? All right, so you get 2 weeks, contact somebody on that card, do something with them. Amen? Amen. All right.
Yes, sir. Sure, real quick. This is a good story.
Yeah. And I'm not going to steal Diana's thunder because she'll be able to tell it to you much better than I can, because I tend to just kind of make it a, you know, bullet points and stuff like that. But Diana's got her new heart and she's very well. We have a condo in San Antonio with Airbnb, and that's where I've been staying close to the hospital so we can visit and stuff. And she's staying down there right now because it's easier to stay close to the hospital than drive down through traffic and rush hour to do the checkups and the maintenance and all that sort of stuff. So I'm telling you, she's great. She's very great. And we went through a very complicated situation, but what we went through with Pastor years ago, I was calm during the whole time. I wasn't, wringing my hands and crying and slinging snot at night going, oh, God, help, help, help. I knew it would happen. The doctors fell in love with her. They decided to push her. You know, they showed her some ways that she could get from the bottom of the list to the top of the list to get a transplant. And I'm also going to tell you this, and because she'll tell you more. This is probably about $1 million operation. And guess what? I've got a $48 bill on my desk. All right? And there's a whole lot more to that story, how it turned out that way. But, you know, I told Diana when we were discussing this, I said, what good is it to get a heart transplant if we got to sell our house and go live in a trailer by the creek, you know, and, you know, go broke. So, but God has provided everything for us tremendously. So, you know, Diana will be here in about another month, and then she'll have plenty to tell you because she, again, tell it so much better than I am. But I told everybody the night she got her heart transplant, you know, I'm texting people, and I says, I'm the happiest man alive. I said, I'm even happier than all the people Donald Trump pardoned.
We praise God and thank Him for the work that He is doing in and through Diana. And the witness that she has been, she's had church in that hospital, you know that? And the people around that have been attending to her, they know the truth. Because she's not going to pass an opportunity. Amen. I want to remind you of our Botswana outreach. We've got Kids for Adoption. Where'd those papers go? Sponsorships. Oh, Pastor Michelle has them. If you are interested in doing that, that's kind of like a monthly commitment, or however you want to do it. Check with Sister Michelle or Brother Kempo. They have the information there, and can help you get started with that, and the profiles for those guys. We're making an impact in the world, not just in this building. I know that God has great things for things in this building, but we are preparing for the world, and this is the first steps. And the world includes Austin. Y'all know that. It includes Texas. There's things we've got to do right here as well as around the world. And God has said that he is raising up intercessors to lay the foundation. Now, the intercessors are not going to be the foundation. They're going to lay the foundation of what God wants to build in us and through us. Amen? Praise God. Stand with me. Thank you, Father. Father, we just thank you for this time that we've come together to fellowship with you, Father, to sing praises to you, to give glory and honor to you, to magnify you and lift you up, to honor you because you are worthy of praise, worthy of honor, worthy of all glory. So I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to praise you with our whole hearts, with the family. And Father, I thank you for the word that has gone forth. We know that it does not return void and that you cause your word to come to pass. So Father, even though we received instructions, we received skill sets, Father God, I thank you that you are causing your word to be fruitful in our lives. And the things that we've heard today, we will study, we will put into practice, Father. We will look for those opportunities. We will look for chances to speak of your goodness, to proclaim your goodness, because we know it's your goodness that causes men to repent. So I thank you, Father, that you first reveal your goodness to us, because you said you would show yourself strong for those whose hearts are turned toward you. So, Father, as we turn our hearts toward you, we know that your goodness is going to show itself strong in our behalf. But, Father, in turn, we also can lead others to look at you, to turn toward you. And I thank you that by your Holy Spirit, you are leading us and guiding us into those opportunities, into those open doors that you have already designed, you have already brought in front of us. And Father, I thank you. You said through your servant that the ordained or the appointed time has come for the doors of abundance to be opened over house of the Lord. And we thank you for that, Father. We look for and we attentively wait for those doors to be completely open for the trickle, for the shower, for the downpour, and for the flood. Thank you, Father. We give glory and honor to you. Let's praise the Lord for just a few minutes. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you are leading us and guiding us. We glorify your name. Thank you, Father, that you have called us to be your servants at this time, and you have placed in us your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we appreciate you. We thank you. We glorify your name. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name. Well, I call you blessed. I say that you are the children of the Most High God. You are taught of the Lord, and great is your peace, that you walk in his abundance, you walk in his overflow, and his divine favor surrounds you and always goes on every side of you, that you are the light shining in the darkness, and you are changing the darkness to light. You're bringing that light into the world, and everything that you put your hand to is prosperous and successful, because you are taught of the Lord and because you meditate his word day and night. I decree that you are blessed of the Lord, and whom the Lord has blessed, none can curse. We love you, appreciate you. You are dismissed. Hallelujah.